Hi everyone, welcome back to Making Waves. For those of you who are new to this podcast, welcome to our podcast. This is the Asian and Pacific Cultural Center here on the Oregon State University campus. Basically, our podcast, you will find out soon what it's about, but it was started with our staff from last year who basically decided that they wanted to make a podcast for students on campuses all over the nation to listen to. So thank you to Erica, Audrey, and Sophia to starting this podcast. We actually won a college podcast award as best in the nation. So thank you again to our staff from last year for making this podcast possible, and thank you guys for listening to us and joining us again.
Yeah, we're super excited to be back. How's everybody feeling? A little nervous?
Yeah. That's like a high standard to get on top of.
I know,
of,
it's like we just won an award. It's like, oh, I guess now we have to be good. It's a little scary. But I guess we'll just get into introductions about what we're about as well as our host. So, Jonathan, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, definitely. So, just as a little introduction of what Making Waves is about, it's pretty much to illuminate the experiences here at the APCC. So, whether it be on topics of diversity, multiculturalism, social identity, and other topics, we'll definitely be trying to cover those, as well as personal experiences and ideas that we each have as well. And so hopefully you guys like
can relate. Hopefully you like us.
Yeah.
All right. Do y'all want to start with introductions? Andrea, you can start, just like name, pronoun.
Yeah, that's fine. Hi guys, my name is Andrea. I go by she, her, hers. And I'm a fourth year here at Oregon State University. And I identify as Romanian. I was born in Romania, and I immigrated over to the U.S.
Hey, everyone. I'm Diana. I'm a fourth year here at Oregon State University. I also use she, her pronouns, and I identify as Chinese, Vietnamese, American.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan. I use pronouns he, him, his. I'm Filipino-American and born and raised in the island of Oahu in Hawaii.
Hey, I'm Andy. I use she, her, hers pronouns. I'm a fourth year at Oregon State. And who am I? I am a Vietnamese American.
Awesome. All right, cool. Thanks for introducing. Okay, so we're going to jump into some questions to get to know our host. Woo! Okay, so the first question, kind of easy, but actually kind of difficult. Dim sum or sushi? What do y'all think?
Sorry, I'm sushi all the way.
Sushi all the way?
I'm sushi also.
Dim sum.
Ooh. Dim sum. Oof. I feel like I can't decide, because like I feel like if I eat too much raw fish, it starts to get kind of...
But see, sushi doesn't have just raw fish, because raw fish is sashimi.
That's true. You're right, though. I'm going to say sushi then.
Ooh, cool.
This doesn't mean we don't like the other one. It's just if we had to choose one.
It just really means that they just all hate me. Let's just take this personal. I don't know. I feel like I'm never full from sushi. And I feel like with dim sum, I'm like full.
That's true. But I feel like sushi can also get really filling because it's rice.
Yeah, I guess it depends where you eat.
You can always eat more and more with sushi too. So you just get more and more of that good stuff.
It's true. I don't know if it's, like, kind of controversial to say, but sometimes I feel like sushi can be kind of a fancy kind of thing. And, like, dim sum, I'm just like, I'm just here to get stuff, man. Right.
I guess it depends on the place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
True. First podcast, we all hate Andy for liking dim sum. Just kidding. Okay. Next question, y'all. Big party or small gathering?
Ooh.
This one depends. Because do you know the people at the big party or the small gathering? Do you not know them? So if it was people that I don't know, I would say big party. But if it's people that I know, probably small gathering, because I would hope I'm like close to those people that I know at the small gathering. So it's just a better time to get even closer to them. But if it's a big party, it's not... I mean, if it's people that you don't know and you're at a big party, it's easier to not feel as awkward versus if it's a small gathering and you don't know anyone, you're like right there and you have to talk to that person. And I would just leave.
Hmm. How do you like navigate that though? If like you don't know anyone at a big party, do you just kind of like try to blend in and like go with whatever is going on, or?
Yeah, I'm a people watcher, so I really like just watching what happens. If a person would approach me, I'll engage and I'll speak with them, I'll communicate, I'll do whatever. If they leave, they leave. If not, that's fine. But I like to just people watch. If it's like a small gathering and there's like people I don't know, I just really hold to myself.
Gotcha. I feel like I'm definitely, I prefer small gatherings more because I just like one-on-one conversations more, slash like I'm a, like a big introvert too. So I feel like big parties can kind of exhaust me. But I feel like if I'm like in the mood, then I could probably go to a big party.
I think for me, it depends. Is this for me or if this is me attending someone else's? if it's for me, I personally like big parties because...
Oh my god. Whoa.
I like extravagant things.
Episode one, no, I need attention.
But I think big parties, like if like kind of similar to yours, if it's like, if I'm attending, then if there's not a lot of people I know, or like if I really want to like enjoy it, or you know, because usually big parties that I attend to, they have like so much things going on, like, oh, chocolate fun, and oh, they have
what
candy
parties
bar.
What
kind of parties you're not attending?
Dang.
Man, why don't you like invite us?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Well, I mean, yeah.
This is the podcast of secrets.
Yeah.
At least the ones
I guess Jonathan knows people.
No, yeah, so there's at least the ones I've attended, there's like things like that, bouncy houses, events going on.
Do you show up in a limo?
No.
What?
But so yes, that's when I attend because they're like so much free stuff. But small gatherings, I guess I prefer like some, like personal things. So if it was like a birthday party or it's more intimate in a more intimate like setting. So.
So we've learned that Jonathan likes attention and free things.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, I'm not going to invite you to a party.
You're not good enough.
I'm literally sitting here, I'm like, okay, I need a chocolate fountain. I prefer small gatherings because I like to like get to know someone. I feel like at big parties, I'm just kind of like, man, it's warm in here. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sweaty. That's like it. Yeah, I feel like at big parties, like, I just hate, like, bumping into people and, like, feeling, like feeling bad for just, like, taking space. So.
But. I mean, they invited you.
Jonathan didn't invite us.
Jonathan didn't.
Okay, guys.
Right. This one's a little bit more deep. So, what were you like as a teenager versus now? And how have your college social circles impacted those shifts? So I'm kind of mad at myself for writing that one because now I'm like, oh, what do I say?
I have to answer this now.
Any ideas? I feel like I was super, super awkward and just like very obsessed with like what people thought of me, slash like, I don't know, it always felt like I was constantly like doing things with like in mind, like how I would come off to others, slash like how others would perceive me. And like, I don't know, I just was very self-conscious, I guess. Anybody else?
Yeah, I guess like I was also pretty like self-conscious too. But also, like, I think I had that, like, thing of just, like, no, like, I'm a cool Asian. I don't know. I think, like, yeah, I was pretty self-conscious. And then, like, but then also I hated, like, not choosing my schedule. Like, in high school, I didn't do well in high school at all. And then I was pretty self-conscious on that, too. But then also, like, I think about it, I'm like, it's girl, because you never showed up. Like, it's because you never went. But, and then now I'm, like, really focused. I try to do good in school because I'm paying for it, but
yeah, I feel like now I just don't care as much. I think just like being on such like a big campus and knowing, like, I think the thing that like started me not like wearing basically pajamas to school, like in high school I would like have to do the whole thing, but now in college, like, I've realized there's like 200 people in your class, like especially in like freshman classes, and like no one's looking at you, so I was just like, it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I think, looking back, I guess this constitutes as like middle school and high school. But I feel like at least the time period when we were in high school, it really was just like, honestly, like a popularity contest.
I know,
it's
right?
It's like, yeah, so into like, you know, whoever is like, yeah, just popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was, I think it was an interesting time for us also, because like within media, we're in that phase where like we're still having like being like movies or TV shows being portrayed as like there's the bully and then there's the cool kids and things like that, but it wasn't necessarily like that anymore in when we were going into high school or like mm-hmm. in our years necessarily. I mean, I feel like at least for me when I was in high school, it was more of like it was so uncool to be a bully at all. So mm-hmm. bullying in a physical mm-hmm. sense and yeah. those kind of ways were like not really cool at all. But it was just more of like the fact that you were not popular or like you didn't dress a certain way or like because you know smart kids were getting like the all the hype now, like, oh, if you're mm-hmm. not taking these classes or feel like you're behind and yeah, usually because at least in my high school, the smarter kids were usually the more well-known ones, the ones that were participating in like leadership councils, things like that. So yeah, that was just weird. So you had to like keep up with all those like
gotta get those grades.
Yeah, like those requirements or whatever to like have that image of yourself on top of like what you said of like right. having that self-image, and
it's
you
like
have
a different kind of social pressure.
Exactly, yeah. And then while in college, like no matter how like you have this or how smart you are, the way you dress, no one freaking notices. Yeah, right. You know, no one cares. So
it's like it just gets so much bigger.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so much more easier, and I guess that giving that time really helps you focus more on like your own personal growth. So
right.
I feel yeah. like when like no one knows you, I feel like that can be like your most like comforting. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
Like in high school, like everyone knew each other.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when I came here, it was like really nice that no one knew me, and I was just kind of just like, it was like I can just do my thing, mm-hmm. right? Not worry mm-hmm. about anything.
It's like existing just becomes a little easier.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see kind of how you're saying with the high school thing and everything. My high school was totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So you can totally see the group of super smart or just smart students. You can see the group of like the popular students, right? There was the group of the athletes. There was the group of the theater kids. There was the group of like the like nerds and like the gamers and stuff and like the weeboos and all that. There was a group of like the students who were like the bad kids that would like, oh, I just started smoking, I'm doing like all these drugs, I'm drinking, they're skipping class, whatever,
stealing Trump signs.
So I mean, definitely in my high school I saw that, and I kind of bounced back and forth between different groups because I wanted to be on good terms with every person. So kind of mm-hmm. like how you were saying, like I always wanted to make sure I made a good impression on everyone. And so it was exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I see all those people now while I'm in college, like the different paths that they have taken, and totally different compared to like what I thought they would have taken while I was in high school. Versus now when I came to college, I still saw a lot of people that I still knew, because obviously I'm going from a high school in Oregon to one of the most attended universities in Oregon for Oregon students to go to. So I still saw a lot of the same people. And yeah, at first, like when I first came here, I wasn't able to see, I mean, yeah, like no one knew me very much.
Mm-hmm.
But now, especially being fourth year, there's so many people I know, and I feel like slowly that's starting to come back, all these groups, and you have
right.
to keep up with all these
right,
things.
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm making a loop back
yeah.
to how I was in high school, which I don't want to do, which is why I'm excited to graduate. But I think I have grown from at least trying to make everyone happy, because I'm slowly starting to not give a crap about anything anymore. And especially now looking at, I have to make all these big adult choices leaving college. I'm like, well, I really have to be selfish for myself, and I'm not making
right.
these decisions for friends, for family, for whatever. It's all going to be what I have set my goal on for all these years is what I have to go after. Yeah. So I guess that's the one thing that's different compared to high school.
For sure. I resonate with that so much. I feel like it's definitely coming back in a circle where I'm like, wait, I know more people now. Yeah. Dang it. It's a good and bad thing.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the next question. What do y'all think of Western beauty standards, and have they negatively impacted how you view yourself?
Ooh. Well, what constitutes as Western beauty standards, I guess? Is that more
of, I feel like it's changed recently.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a little insight on what you think of that?
So I know the typical what everyone talks about with the light skin, the light hair, all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Certain facial features and all that. I feel like it's definitely changed now. I feel like it's slowly been to not dark skin, but just you have to be tan, or you have to have some color to your skin. You have to have, like, it's not slim anymore. You have to have curves and shapes and things like that.
Yeah.
For me, I didn't necessarily grow up with the Western beauty standards here in the U.S. It was still very much influenced from what was seen in Romania as Western. I mean, not Western beauty standards, but just beauty standards. So I grew up not hearing you have to stay light-skinned and pale. I grew up always hearing you need more sun, Andrea. You're so pale, Andrea. Your skin is so white. Like, you'll look good with the tan. You'll look good darker. And so I can't tan. I burn. If I want a tan, I have to make it very scheduled, and I have to make sure I have the right amount of, like, protection on, or, like, tanning oil or whatever. So for me, it was always so difficult to try to reach what people were telling me. And it frustrated me because I was like, why? Why? Because then a whole bunch of other people, I'd hear the other side of all these people who have darker skin, were like, I keep on hearing that, like, oh, lighter skin is, like, the standard and everything. And I was frustrated because I was like, I'm hearing something totally different on my end. I don't know what's what. I mean, now I know there shouldn't be a beauty standard. But when you're younger, of course, you don't know these things. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, the bodily shape and everything, right. I grew up with always, you can't be too skinny because then you're just skin and bones. But then, like, you start gaining a little weight, and then, like, oh my gosh, you're getting fat. You have to lose all of that. And now what I'm hearing from lots of people that I know is, like, you have to have these shapes. Oh, you don't have a butt. Oh, you don't have, like, hips. Right. So you don't have, like, all these things.
It's just, like, I feel like body parts and skin tones just shouldn't be a trend.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you all kind of notice that? Like, it's, like, trendy to, like, look certain ways sometimes and not. Other times, I think it's just kind of messed up.
Mm-hmm.
What do y'all think?
I think with, at least, with a male perspective, at least with, it's very interesting because with like, the beauty standards going up and it being more, like, acceptable, you actually see guys and no guys doing their eyebrows as well and really caring about, like, their appearance and taking care of their beauty as well, which is also influenced by, like how females, like, with their beauty standards. And I think that's pretty cool because it allowed us to take care of our skin more and things like that. But in terms of, like, the pressure that the beauty standards just put on us, it's just, like, way too heavily, it's just mentally, like, draining and way too much. Like, in terms of, I guess, what I've seen with, like, Filipino families or just Filipinos in general, there's always that, like, we have family members definitely just call you out, like, if you're fat, like, in general, like, if you have not seen us for, like, a long time, they will straight up tell you, you got fat. What happened? Oh, you're so fat now.
Yeah.
And then give you that eye, things like that. And so like you already have, like, that social pressure and, like, how you're supposed to look already, and the whole thing about telling, like you were saying about, like, your color, for us Filipinos, because we're more on, like, that side of the region, for us our goal is to be more light-skinned. And because you have, like, you know, the Koreans and Japanese were having such, like, pale fair skin is the goal and the dream, and it's just like you know, just sad how, like, people are like trying to get rid of their skin tones and you know what really defines them, just to, like, achieve a beauty standard that's like just put on them. So Yeah.
My grandpa deadass called me out, being like, your foundation's the wrong shade.
Oh, what?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, what the heck? Like, even my grandpa noticed. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, I just think that, like my family does that a lot, too. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of just like, oh, like, what you do on vacation? A lot of eating? Like,
yeah. Some more passive.
Yeah. Like, I would prefer them be like, man, you got fat. So I can, like, at least have, like, fist ups and ready to fight, you know? Like, not like. But, yeah, and I guess, like, I don't, like, and, like, same with, like, you know, skincare and things like mm-hmm. that. I feel like the mm-hmm. skin standard has just raised way beyond
me. Right, the bar is, like, here now.
Yeah.
Way beyond me. And then, like, I saw that, like, I don't know, that Stranger Things girl got, like, a skincare line. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, aren't you, like, 12? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you're 12. Mm. You're supposed to have acne. You're supposed to be, like, kind of gross looking because you're 12. Like,
it's natural for your body. Just let it do what it needs
we
to do.
We went through it. You go through it, too. Yeah. It's only fair.
Do it.
You have to go to a dermatologist and spend money like the rest of us. But no, like, so I'm just like, you know, I just feel like this is kind of weird to me. Like, you're so young and you're working so hard to just get like clear skin when like you know that's just your hormones and stuff and right. then I mean like for me like I like my metabolism always just kind of like just went I've always been kind of thin so like I never worried too much about it but
mm-hmm. for me I think it's always been my nose and my moles is like what I've been picked on the most with my family they've always been like pinching my nose and like they've legit said stuff to me like oh why don't you have like a taller nose bridge or like why don't you look like they've like pointed to like people in like magazines and be like your nose is and I'm just like wow. Thanks mom but also I think like a really traumatizing thing for me like is that a lot of my relatives have like told me from when I was 5 that I needed to like get cosmetic surgery to get rid of my moles. And, like, as a 5-year-old, I remember, like, putting toothpaste on my face.
Oh, my.
Because I saw it in some episode of, like, some guy getting rid of, like, his acne with toothpaste. Mm. So, like, I was, like, just, like, a 5-year-old kid, like, in the mirror, like, trying to erase my moles. And I think it's just, like, it says a lot about, like, old Asian beauty standards, mm-hmm. at least in my family, that are just kind of toxic. Or just the way that, at least for my Asian family, we've approached, like, those kinds of topics and how they've affected my self-confidence to this day is kind of harrowing.
Mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
funny, though, because for you guys, it's, like, get, like, a bigger nose. But for me growing up, and the thing I got made fun of a lot was my nose because they were, like, it's too big. Like, it's sticking out. Like, why does your nose look like that? What's wrong with it? Mm. And so many times I had to be, like, I don't know. That's just how it is. What am I supposed to explain to you?
Right. I feel like that's just such a rude question and be like, hi, why is your nose the way it
is? I legit like, just had people come up to me and be like, what's wrong with your nose? And I'd be like,
right.
People are like telling me and my parents telling me like, you should get surgery to get your nose like a size down. Like when you turn this age, we can pay for your surgery to get your nose smaller.
Oh my gosh. I think you're gorgeous, Andre. Don't listen to that.
I think you are, too.
Thank you. But that kind of gets us into our next question. Like, what are some aspects of your culture that have most deeply impacted who you are? Mm. / like, maybe what parts of that culture you're a bit ashamed about? It's kind of a deep question.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm like, oh. I think the aspects of my culture that have most deeply impacted me, whenever I think about that question, I always think about my parents. And I don't know, I kind of think of them with every single thing that I do. And I think that there's a lot of beauty in that where I feel so much gratitude towards them and the foundation that they've set up for my life. But there's also so much like pain behind that. Like I think it's a huge burden to feel like everything I do is it's both sides. Like it's beautiful that like everything I do is gratitude towards my parents, but it's also painful and burdensome to feel like I have that on my shoulders all the time. Yeah, so that's kind of what I think has most deeply impacted who I am.
I can piggyback off of that because I feel like it's very much so. I feel like this is in a lot of cultures, but like constantly the child has to do everything for the parents and like the parents are like whatever decision you make, it's impacting us, and like you're representing us, so whatever you screw up on, it's gonna show that we screwed up. So it's always like every single decision you make, you have to keep your parents in mind. And I hate it so much. And it's like constantly they'll just like dangle, oh, like I still have this power over you, I still have this authority over you because of this and that. And I don't like it.
I feel like a lot of immigrant, like children of immigrants, can relate to that for sure. Yeah. I think that's like kind of ties into like some of the shame I have too. It's like kind of the relationship with my parents is a little bit broken because of, well, one, there's language barriers, two, there's like cultural barriers where like we've just grown up in very different worlds and very different times. Mm. And like, I love them so much, obviously, and I'd love to have a great relationship with them, but because of all the circumstances of like this country versus theirs, it's kind of become like a divided world, even though I feel like I still am a mixture of both, because I do, like, I am really proud of being Chinese, Vietnamese, American, but sometimes those things kind of, like, clash, and that kind of, I feel like that kind of comes out in, like, the relationship I have with my parents.
100% agree with that.
Yeah.
It's also because of the fact that they grew up with this one culture, right? Mm-hmm. But we grew up with the culture they're bringing to us, but also the culture we interact with outside of our home, outside of like this community that we have. So we have two different cultures that we can say are ours, and sometimes they don't realize that, because they're like, no, you are Vietnamese Chinese, so this is what you're supposed to be like. Well, no, I'm also American, because I also grew up with this whole other half of my world and experience that you don't even know about.
Right, for sure. It's like beauty and grievance all at once. Hi, Jonathan. Please edit.
Edit myself, please. I guess in terms of at least aspects of my culture and the way it impacted me, for us, I guess, Filipinos, and I'm pretty sure for like all other Asian cultures, is that we really hold family to like a huge like standard, like even beyond just our immediate family, but like it goes from like our cousins to second, third, fourth, and beyond. Like we still consider them as family, and like that's why, like, you know, we have like family gatherings and parties. It's just like a bunch of people sometimes I don't even know. Honestly,
who dat?
Yeah, exactly. But like just growing up in like that environment, though, like really like just enables you to like really cherish, you know, this like family that you have and the people that you grow around with, you know, regardless of like how close to them you're not, like I've never met you before, but what's up, cuz, or you know, things like that. And like, yeah, just so family is definitely a huge like, you know, thing. And like food, of course, food is like everything. I guess in terms of like toxic impacts about my culture. Oh man.
Spill the chocolate fountain.
Filipinos love to gossip, and I hate that so much. Like even within families too, like they would say things and like about this person, and like it's just unhealthy. Like it's just like, oh, this person or your cousin did
your
drugs or something.
Your second cousin twice
removed. Yeah, like oh, don't be like them, or like, you know, be careful, or like things like that. Like, mom, you don't even know the whole story. Like, what are you even saying?
Yeah.
Like, you saw it off Facebook.
It was just Advil.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it's just like really toxic. And the things about the beauty standards also, and like, you know, it just like I feel like that definitely impacts the way I am now, because like I'm very self-conscious about like the way I look too, and how I present myself, even to family, which family I shouldn't care, right? Like, because they're people that are supposed to love you unconditionally, but sometimes it's like,
why are there conditions?
Yeah, right. So yeah, not too thrilled about the toxic stuff.
I totally relate with like the gossiping and everything. Like, I just want like like, I don't know. It was like, why you guys have like so much beef? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like
all the time.
Like there's like so much gossiping. I mean, like sometimes it's good. Like my grandma gossips with like all of her church friends about like healthy foods. So like sometimes I get like random calls, be like, don't drink coconut. They bleach it to be white to like fool you into that's a healthy coconut. So I'm just like, all right, well, that's too late. I'm already drinking it. Like anyway. Yeah. And like, it feels like I have to hold up to like some sort of like standard that it's not really me or like who I like want to be or do or so, like I can't be comfortable because I'm like, what if they're gonna like talk shit because Andy dropped a chopstick at dim sum like, in front of the server, like, you know, like I'm just like, just leave me alone, just let me eat. But and like I don't want to feel like I have to look good for family. I know that's like a weird saying, but I'm just like, I don't want to dress up to see you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that's also another thing, at least like with Vietnamese, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I hope it's not just my family, but like they buy such expensive like things just for, but like for me, it feels so like, yeah, nice coat, like a nice purse is nice, you know, but like, why you have to get like the most expensive thing and then bring it to a family dinner like, and it clearly says like Louis Vuitton on there, like I just feel like, and then for me, I don't really like that or don't really like want that, like I want to invest my money in other things, and like but my aunt would like, you know, buy me these nice things, and like I know how much like time she like literally how many hours it would take her to make that, and it just stresses me out, and I'm like, I just want to spend time with you don't have to do this, like for my graduation gift
or even like small things, like there's a relative like just stopping by to visit you or something, and then your parents are like, literally your mom will be like, it's, you have to clean the whole house. Like, oh my god, we have to clean everything. Like, we have to make a whole bunch of food. Like, and I'm like, they're just visiting. It's, right. It's just their family. You shouldn't, like, worry about cleaning the house and preparing it so much just for this family member.
I know.
Or, like, it's nuts.
Like, my mom, oh my god, she would, sorry, mom, but, about to get called out and been here, but, she will change her whole outfit.
Yeah.
Take the picture. Goes back downstairs, get in pajamas, and then eat.
My mom does that too. She literally, like, we have to take a picture. She's like, wait. And then she goes, and like 30 minutes later comes back, and she's like, hair done, clothes, and everything. And I'm like,
I just woke up.
Oh, gosh. Oh, like, they're so nosy. Sorry.
You're fine.
One last thing. My grandma, like, literally would look through my room and just be like, it's messy in here. I'm like, yeah, because I shoved everything in here to, like, hide it from you.
It's like, leave me alone. Like, oh, my gosh. Y'all. All right. Mm-hmm. I think we're running out of time. So one last question before we sign off. Ramen or pho?
Oof. I really, really, really like pho, but there's so many more choices for ramen that I feel like I would get tired quicker of pho than ramen. So just for this question, I would say ramen, but I really like pho.
I kind of agree with that, because like, I feel like ramen can be heartier or lighter, but I feel like whenever I've had pho, it's always pretty hearty.
Yeah.
That's why you have to pick between the two. That's the choice. Personally, I choose pho currently. Only because I feel like growing up in Hawaii, there's so much Japanese restaurants, and they're super good. Like I had so much good good ramen, because like you have like these like fancy chefs and they just like make really good stuff. So I've been so used to eating ramen before, and like pho is like, I don't know, just something like, no matter how different or like not even different, it's usually the same, like how it is. It just so fulfilling for me, so I personally like pho better.
It's funny because we have a lot of pho here in, well, Oregon, not in Corvallis, but more pho, I would say, readily available to you than ramen. And so how you said there's more ramen that you've had than pho, there's more pho, I would think most Portland people can say that they've had than ramen.
About you, Andy? Are you gonna be the odd man out again?
Oh my god, I don't know, like If you ask me next week, it's going to be a different answer. But I'm also, like, really hungry right now, so I want both.
Anything.
I'm like, anything. But, like, probably pho, because, like, I know what to expect, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I know what I expect, I know what I want, and, like, I could just set it up the way I want to do it, so, but next week might change, who knows? Like, it's a good...
Awesome. All right, that's about all the time we have. Thanks so much for tuning in to Season 2, Episode 1 of Making Waves. Make sure you look out for our future episodes. Bye!
Bye!